Well, it doesn't often happen this way, but you can shut off the overhead because that's next Sunday's message. And you have no idea where we're going. First of all, we're going to turn to John chapter 13. And we're going to take a look a bit at the context of communion this morning. So, I'm glad the sharing time took a little bit longer, so I could collect thoughts and trust the Lord lead us in what He would have us go through this morning. But I'd like to read, and you can follow along. So, you know, this worked out good. I called several people this week to see if they'd read the scripture. No one was going to be available, or they had reasons not to. This is a good thing. We would have been tied to a message that would have put us with communion 20 after 12, 12:30. So our scripture is going to start with John chapter 13. Verse 34, Jesus is speaking, and He said, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Let's pray. Father, you have the liberty to change what happens on a Sunday morning, and so we just commit ourselves to you. And I trust that that the promptings that I received would be of benefit to us as a congregation. So I pray that as we have this time of remembrance, we had Easter last Sunday and a communion Sunday today, that you might draw us into your purpose, your design, in Jesus' name. Well, I'd like to hear what you think is the main thing that Jesus said in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. What's the main thing? And everybody said together, love one another. Okay, thanks for all your individual input. But now we all have it, that Jesus, his declaration to his disciples was, this is my command to you. And it was just a small huddle, love one another. But to those disciples, the word was passed on, so that in the disciple John, the apostle John's writing in 1 John, he repeats it. A new commandment I write unto you. It's not new, but a new commandment, because Jesus gave it as a new command. Love. Agape love. Because of what you're loving, who you're loving, is a treasure. Maybe not to you yet, but it's a treasure to God. And your love is to be so broad that it embraces everybody. Because it's God's love, because of His precious people He created. And so when we think about Jesus' command to us as a church, what does He command? What's the phrase? Love one another. Okay, now we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we're going to pick it up at verse 17. We need to understand that the book of 1 Corinthians and this church at Corinth had its more than its share of troubles. Sometimes we go to 1 Corinthians and think this is how everything should be. We need to tread very carefully, because what we're going to read, and I'm not going to preach a sermon as such, just walk through it and see what the context is and how God wants to bring us back away from what the Corinthians were doing and what they were thinking and how they were conducting themselves to what it really is when we share in communion. So we're going to walk through it by paragraphs. Verse 17. You need a chapter? Look around until verse 17 says, in the following directives. It's chapter 11. I'm sorry. Does that help? Man, I'm glad you asked that. You know, sometimes we have the scripture up here on the screen and everybody's looking. But we don't have a screen. You're using your Bibles. This is so cool. And if you don't have a Bible, look around. There's one under the chair, perhaps. You can dig it out. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17. In the following directives, Paul is writing, the Apostle Paul, in the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. Did you expect that to be said in the Bible? You don't expect that. It's like, whoa! Is he talking to us? In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you. And to some extent, I believe it. No doubt, there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. That means there are some there, evidently, that don't have God's approval. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper you eat. They had what they called agape, or agape feast, a love feast. And during that feast, they shared in communion. But he's saying, when you come together, it's not the Lord's Supper. You're not setting apart Christ as Lord in your lives, in your hearts, and in your conduct. Because, for as you eat, each of you goes ahead without waiting for anybody else. One remains hungry, another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you for this? Certainly not. Strong, strong words. This is the context of this chapter. This is the context of this passage of taking communion. It's different in our specific context because we don't do this as a meal. We don't do it as in the context of a potluck where people bring their food, but instead of putting it on a table to share, they go down and sit at a table and they eat it all up. What would we say? They're being selfish. They're thinking only of themselves. Shall I praise you? Certainly not. Okay, let's think about verse 23. For I received from the Lord. This is his doing. It's not the apostles Paul's instructions. It's what he had received from the Lord. And so he's giving the authority of what happens to God as sovereign over everything. He's sovereign over his church. And I'm telling you, this is how it's done. And he's speaking to a Gentile church, so he's not describing a Seder. He's saying this is communion, this is the Lord's Supper. And this is what is illustrating John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Love one another. Not selfish, not greedy, but generous. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. What were the Corinthian people thinking of? Were they thinking of the Lord's death? No. They were thinking of themselves and how I prepared one of my favorite dishes to bring to the potluck. I like it so much, my family and I are going to eat it. And they weren't thinking of others. They weren't considering that on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. And it led to the cross. And what did Jesus do at the cross? He took their sin on himself. What are they doing at the Lord's table? They're thinking of themselves instead of what Jesus did to take their sin away. And he made a new covenant with his blood. Do you want to go back to slaughtering sheep and goats? The sacrifice is complete. It's already been made. The offering for your sin is finished. Your sin is to be put away, put to death, all that pertains to the fleshly nature. Put it to death. And take this cup, this bread and this cup. But if you don't do it in this way, therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. We may not have those same circumstances, but it's a challenge to us because we are to be one in the body of Christ. If we have a grudge against one, if we have an unforgiving spirit, if the unity of the body is being disrupted, who are we sinning against? Their actions, the Apostle Paul says, is a sin against the Lord because they're not considering the body. What is the body? Was it his body that hung on the cross? Or his body that he said after the resurrection that you are to go? And the New Testament speaks of the church as his body, his hands, his feet, his expression, his mouth. A man ought to examine himself. Women, young people, a person ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why the judgment had struck Corinth. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen What happened to them? They died. Falling asleep. Well, people do that every Sunday. I mean, but he's really saying, many are weak and sickly among you, and many of you have died. Did it register with you what's causing this? You have a funeral every week. What's happening? Not considering what the body of the Lord should be and how we interact in it. But if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for each other. Think about a potluck. Think about that meal that they were having. Wait. Don't grab your dish and be selfish with it. Be generous. We have that practice in our potlucks, don't we? Everyone goes through and everyone has the same opportunity. But here they were greedy. Wait for each other. If anyone is hungry, he should eat at home, so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. Paul says, when I come, I'll give further directions. But we have an opportunity to say thank you. The Lord Jesus loves us. He loves his church. He loves the body. He gave himself for it. He died on the cross for us. But what did he die for? To carry our sins away from us. To pay the penalty of our sins. And in our communion time, when we take the bread and when we take the cup, it's not so much the unity of the body in our thoughts. Because our communion together is individually communing with the Lord. We're not talking among ourselves. In our hearts, our minds, we can be talking to the Lord. Thanking him. Confessing to him. Whatever's convicting us. And taking what made it possible to have fellowship with God. In 1 John chapter 1, it says, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we walk in the light, but walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship, one, and you can do this too, point at yourself, one, with another. That's the other. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Will those who are helping with distributing the elements, will you come forward, please? Lord Jesus, you gave us this table to remember you. Remember the Lord's death until he comes. And so we anticipate your return. And we want to be awake. We want to be about the business that you have us here to accomplish. That's undergirded by love, your love for us, and the love that's distributed to us as fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. And it's something a little more tangible that people can understand, that someone loves them. But may your love flow through us, and in thinking of that, we respond to you. We love you because you first loved us. Thank you for offering your body, for giving it for us, in Jesus' name. Let's eat together. We all participate in the communion. And Father, we thank you that you gave your Son, that his blood was shed. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, your Son, who cleanses us from all sin. Thank you for the cleansing. Please replace the things that you've taken from us in our sinful nature, the things that we are to destroy, that we're to put to death, and fill our lives with the things that are from you, from your Spirit, the love and the joy, the peace, patience and kindness, goodness, long-suffering, faithfulness, self-control. By the blood, Lord, purify us. And we take this emblem in recognition of Jesus' sacrifice and that cleansing we receive. Lord, make us clean for your glory. Amen. Christ's blood was shed for us. Let's drink together. By his blood, he purchased peace for us also. And having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Is the worship team coming? We'll sing that.